This is Dr. Ronald Hoffman with one of my personal solutions to better cardiovascular health, Berkeley Life Nitric Oxide Support Supplements. Just two capsules of Berkeley Life daily provide the dietary nitrate equivalent of 7 ounces of beets and can support cardiovascular health, maintain healthy blood pressure levels, and improve overall circulation. For more information and to purchase, just go to drhoffman.com/berkeleylife. drhoffman.com/berkeleylife. Berkeley Life Nitric Oxide Support Supplements. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Today's guest is Dr. Benjamin Asher. And, you know, we're taking a little bit of a departure from some of the podcasts I've been doing recently, talking about this or that or the other supplement for prevention or treatment of COVID-19, which is on all our minds. Today, we're more addressing it from the standpoint of, what's all the stress and apprehension doing to us, and what can we do to overcome it? Our guest, well-suited to deal with that, he's an otolaryngologist, but also well-versed in mind-body medicine, teaches meditation, been doing so for 3-plus decades. In his practice, he doesn't just treat, ordinary, sniffles, colds, and sinusitis. Many of his patients, because he uses an integrative approach, gravitate to his practice because they have chronic complex illnesses, and natural medicine and innovative approaches are well suited to dealing with that. But I was going to ask you, Ben, one of the sources of confidence that I have in the face of this epidemic is that I feel that although I'm, quote, high risk, I'm over 60, I'm still in good physical condition. I have no chronic ailments. I have good exercise capacity, and I've been taking good care of myself. But many of your patients have chronic conditions. They may have conditions like, I imagine, chronic fatigue syndrome or chronic autoimmune diseases. And they feel very vulnerable under these circumstances. I mean, my goodness, they're told that if they get sick, they may be the very ones who end up on a ventilator because their immune systems aren't functioning correctly. So what do you have to say to those people out there who are, shall we say, the vulnerable ones?
So that's a really great question. And I've been dealing with that.
I imagine you're doing telemedicine and right. Maybe reaching out to some of your sicker patients and trying to offer a little bit of a ministry to them.
Right. So the very fact that we're human beings means that we're vulnerable because we all die. That's just the truth. Whether we have a chronic
illness. You mean we're not invulnerable? Okay.
Right. Because whether we have a chronic illness or not, we all have to deal with the fact that we're mortal. So what's coming up right now for everybody, whether they are chronically sick or not, is this mortality piece, because it's right in our faces.
That's profound, because we tend to put that aside. We're in denial about that. Certainly young people don't think about it, but then, you're 50, 60, 70, and you see maybe colleagues of yours or relatives or friends or, an obituary here and there and a death announcement. And then you go, that's not me. Lightning strikes, but it's far from me.
Right, and we all try to amass some sorts of protections against this inevitable thing that we're all going to die. So having lots of money, having, the biggest house, the most whatever it is that we think are protections against something.
More Facebook friends helps, I think. Twitter followers. Huh? More Facebook friends and Twitter followers, I think, can help somewhat.
Right. So so that's really what is at stake here, is actually working with that experience of being a vulnerable person. I cannot protect somebody from, I can recommend supplements. You can tell people that they, if they really truly are immunocompromised, and not everybody who's chronically sick is immunocompromised. Mm-hmm. Much of immunocompromised issues come from taking all these medicines that we are giving people that immunocompromise them. Mm-hmm. But people who aren't on lots of medications, who are doing a lot of things, even though they may feel bad, are not actually immunocompromised. I don't think that a lot of Lyme patients, for instance, are immunocompromised necessarily.
Mm-hmm. They just feel lousy, but they don't. They're not necessarily more vulnerable to dying of coronavirus.
Right, exactly. So one thing is to reassure people that I don't know whether, in fact, you are immunocompromised, so you don't need to look at it from that perspective.
So a fact check.
Or fact check, right. But I do, I am encouraging every person that is feeling this level of anxiety to actually settle in and feel what it is to be alive and what that means. And it's in that dropping into that state of feeling vulnerable, which can provoke an enormous amount of anxiety because people don't want to believe that we're mortal. But being able to start to feel what it is about to really be human is an important part of our own personal evolution on the planet, like as a human being, what we're here to do. Everybody has to deal with it. So you can deal with it now, or you can deal with it, you know, when you're told mm-hmm. that you have a terminal illness, or you can deal with it when, you know, in the moment of your passing. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But how it is that we work with that experience is a very important part of our humanness.
That's very profound, yeah.
So that's what people who are coming to me with that issue, and I'm, you know, I don't have the answer because I don't think there's an answer. It's not like you can fix this experience. There's not a cure.
Mm-hmm.
The answer
it's
is
the
in
age-old
the
quandary of humanity, of
right.
you know, that generations and civilizations from time immemorial have dealt with.
Right. So it's a matter of deciding that you're going to take this opportunity to be curious, to have an open mind and an open heart, a mm-hmm. compassionate heart mm-hmm. to yourself, mm-hmm. to realize in this moment where you are facing really potentially, you know, something that is very serious, are you going to judge yourself and criticize yourself more? Or are you going to be more compassionate towards yourself? Are you going to judge and blame everybody around you for all the issues? Or are you just going to be more compassionate about yourself, more compassionate about others? Realizing that that's a state which is more open and spacious and is one which promotes just general inner sense of well-being. It's all a choice. We have choices all the time in the way we think, the way we feel. Even though we don't think we do, we always have a choice. And so when this stuff comes up, how we meet it, that's really some of the most important things that I think are coming out of this,
mm-hmm.
meeting this moment each time with a different process, trying to be more compassionate and open towards ourselves.
One of the things that, you know, I'll share a little personally, what tides me over sometimes during times of danger or stress is that I make myself realize that I'm a living entity, you know, with a finite capacity to live forever. And I'm a platform for observing the world, which is really a fascinating, fascinating ongoing movie, which I have an enormous privilege to witness. And as a platform, I can sometimes be buffeted by, you know, some of the turbulence that occurs, you know, when you're in a drafty movie theater, or, you know, on a rocking cruise ship, or in the midst of an epidemic. But, still, it's, if it doesn't annihilate me, which, I mean, still there is a possibility, a very tiny possibility, if these experiences don't annihilate me, what a privilege it is to, observe this wonderful, diverse, unpredictable, sometimes scary, but sometimes magnificent movie. And that actually sometimes helps take me out of this threat zone where I feel like these circumstances threaten me personally and cause me enormous fear and anxiety and apprehension. Does that fit in at all with this?
Totally
that
fits
you're...
in, absolutely.
Yeah.
Totally is exactly, you know, that works very well. That's a very beautiful process of how to hold things, and just being open to experience. Because we really don't know the meaning. We don't know the meaning necessarily of any particular experience. Mm-hmm. Bernie Siegel, who was one of the founders of holistic medicine, I heard him give this talk on many occasions about regret. And he was saying that really regret is like the most worthless experience.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because you don't know the meaning of anything. And he would go through this whole thing about somebody who regretted something, but it turned out that it was this that was so much better because
what if,
whatever.
What if, what if, what if,
yeah. What if, right. And so being able to be open and curious about whatever the experience is, even in the moment not being able to understand what it's about, because we don't. There's no way to fathom all of whatever is happening mm-hmm. in any particular moment, but we're moving in this process. And the actual being more present in the moment for whatever is happening, what it allows you to actually experience the energy of what's going on. Mm-hmm. And there's some inner freedom, and I use the word mm-hmm. bliss or joy, in just being able to be in the energy of some experience, even when it's can be
adverse.
Very, very challenging.
Yeah, and when it's even an adverse experience. You know, and I will share with you that, you know, as this epidemic loomed, I was in Tortola, you know, diving, scuba diving. And one of the reasons that I really love diving is that it kind of exemplifies what we're talking about, is that inherently it's a very unnatural experience. It's dangerous. You're underwater. The natural instinct underwater is to take a deep breath, which will be the end of you, unless you have an oxygen tank, an air tank. And what you have to do when you dive, a lot of people think diving is, well, that takes a lot of exertion. That's like, you know, doing a marathon race. No, it isn't. It's actually the opposite. And some of the least fit people I know, older people, people with medical conditions, people who are overweight, are very comfortable underwater because they go underwater and they supremely relax and they forget about the unnaturalness of this and they swim, you know, slowly and quietly and gently, and they observe. And the less you think about the unnatural, dangerous circumstances of that. And we saw sharks, you know, large sharks underwater, and the idea is to watch, observe, be alert, because certainly there is danger, but it's sort of holding that the practical considerations of the danger of the situation in abeyance. You know, you don't want to turn off your danger sensors, but also allow yourself to relax and observe and see all the marvelous things that are there, the coral reefs and the colorful fish, and get the most out of that experience. And it's a short transient experience because you only have an oxygen tank that lasts you for, you know, 50 to 60 minutes, and which is the same as life, because life
right.
is finite. You know, and you want to get as much out of it as possible. Now, fortunately, more than 50 or 60 minutes, but
right.
by an order of magnitude, it is also finite. And in that space, you want to dive and relax and be present for it.
That's a beautiful analogy, actually. It is in my few experiences of diving, that's been my experience, certainly, just being able to, you're in this total other world, which just takes you to another place inside. It's quite an extraordinary experience.
I just wanted to ask you, you know, what we're talking about, there's a lot of things that militate against it. We're inside. We have nonstop media. We have the ultimate rumor mill, which is social media. And then we have cable TV. Now, it used to be, you know, you'd wait for the, you know, 6:30 news, right? You know, we're old enough
right.
to remember that. Now, 24/7, you can watch urgent dispatches, and it's kind of like the ticker tape. You know, you see the stock market and you go, oh, wow, stock market's 23,000. No, wait a minute. That's the death toll. I'm confused. Is it the stock market is going up or is it the death toll? They're right about the same level. And, oh, my God, you know, you have to sometimes turn that off. Yes, we want to be aware of the circumstances, but do you have a recipe for patients who are apprehensive in regard to their media consumption?
Well, it is challenging because actually being on the media, there is some news that is helpful because if you know they're shutting everything down, you need to know what's going on. So how to find some balance of not being addicted to the sort of 24-hour news cycle, but shutting it off and not paying attention to it and tuning inward is helpful. I have been recommending to people something called EFT, which stands for Emotional Freedom Technique, which also is another practice which, on if you just look at it, it is it may seem a little hokey. There's a bunch of stuff on the internet. If you look it up, you can find a practitioner. You can contact me. Actually, I have somebody in my office that teaches people this practice. It's very simple to do. And basically, it's a tapping technique where you do a setup statement, which sounds you tap on part of your hand with a statement, which is, even though I feel X, like even though I'm incredibly anxious and feel like I'm going to die, I deeply and completely love and accept myself. So you do that three times, and then you tap on your head, above your eyes, the side of your eyes, below your eyes, your nose, your chin, your collarbones, and under your armpits. So you do a cycle of that with different feelings. And it's a way, of just, de-escalating, whatever's going on in the moment when you're really feeling charged. I think it's very important, that we have immediate tools, for de-escalating things when they're sort of flying out of control and we're really uncomfortable. There's another practice, which is this, it's this Hawaiian practice. It's called Ho'oponopono, where you take any difficult feeling and you just, and you do this. You say, I love you. I thank you. Please forgive me. I'm sorry. You can do that for anything, or you can do that for any challenging relationship. You say, I love you, I love you, I love you, I thank you, I thank you, I thank you, please forgive me, please forgive me, please forgive me, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. It reframes the experience.
I think our progressive rabbi borrowed that during a Yom Kippur service that I attended recently.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
So I didn't know it was from the Hawaiian tradition. I thought it was from like some sort of ancient Hebrew psalm or something.
No, so that's a Hawaiian practice.
Okay.
Well, and
it's an eclectic congregation, let's put it that way.
Right. So so they didn't have a cert up on the Bima, I take it.
But no, they didn't give us lays and do a hula dance. You know, that would be a little much.
So that's another easy, simple tool if you're really getting caught up. You can do that for a feeling. You can do that for a person. I've done it. I do it a lot when I'm really feeling stuck. And it once again, changes the pattern.
Yeah.
That's really what we want to do is change the pattern so that we're not stuck in the same old grooves.
There's wisdom in these ancient traditions. And, you know, we're very steeped in science and modernity, but we've lost our spiritual connection. How important is that? Because, you know, I see ads now, and it's kind of opportunistic, but Billy Graham, you know, whatever, the son, Billy Graham's deceased, but his son appears on the TV now regularly and urges us to embrace Jesus Christ as our Savior and pray. And, you know, that doesn't do very much for people who are not Christian. You know, what about that spiritual connection?
Well, I believe that ultimately whatever it is that we're doing is about spiritual connection, whatever it is. And that's going to be different for different people and how that works and what people find connects them to some, what they call spiritual. And that could just be being in the present moment. It could be being deeply connected to community and family. It could be something. People need some sort of connection. Isolation is not something that works very well for many people. And there are a few people that, you know, can be sitting in a cave and be totally isolated, and that's fine. But that's the exception rather than the rule.
Mm-hmm.
Spirituality is a very important piece. I personally, when people ask me about medicine, I consider medicine a spiritual practice, mm-hmm. being in this work,
mm-hmm.
because I have the privilege of being able to hear people's stories.
Mm-hmm.
And that I consider an incredible spiritual practice, because I'm able to listen and mm-hmm. and work with people in ways. It's a great honor.
Mm-hmm.
So
it provides us with a unique window on the world, because
it is
truly a form of intimacy that is unusual. The unburdening of people with illnesses and complaints, and you find out so much about their lives in the process.
Right. So the thing that you're asking, I think, is a good question, in my own personal experience, which we've talked about in a previous podcast, was this field of transpersonal love, which I believe mm-hmm. is kind of the underpinning of everything, is really an important part of what it is to be human.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just my personal feeling and my personal experience, and finding ways to experience that is something that is deeply healing, in the sense mm-hmm. that it brings us into a more state of wholeness and connectedness.
Now,
here's another
type of pathology. You know, we talked about people who have chronic illnesses. A lot of people are type A, and they want things to be just right. They're, you know, like many doctors and professionals and achievers, they're type A. And this is the ultimate throwing down the gauntlet to type A individuals, because, they say, man plans, and God laughs. You know, all these
right.
plans, all these, you know, orderly arrangements that we have in our lives, they've suddenly been dashed. And how do you cope with that? I mean, I'm having some problems with that myself, because you're just letting go, you know, because I got an agenda, I got a routine, I got, you know, things to do and plans, and all of a sudden I got to just kind of like, you know, just let it ride.
Right. I mean, the word that I use in that situation is surrender.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, there's nothing you can do, right? So we're all riding a river, and you can swim in the river in certain ways, but swimming upstream is not necessarily the way that works the best. So, you know, sometimes I think about one of the things that I've been saying is the wave's coming, and the question is, what kind of surfboard do you want to ride it on? So, it's finding your surfboard to be able to ride whatever the waves that are coming, and it may not be what you want, but that's what you got to do.
That is a beautiful analogy, too, because, you make the best of it, of the circumstances when you're on the water. And I did a little body surfing down in Tortola. It was quite nice, too. That was a good experience.
Great.
And sometimes the waves are there, and sometimes they're not, and, you know, you just do the best you can. All right. Well, this has been very enlightening, and I also want to give our listeners an opportunity to get in touch with you, should you be willing to allow them to do that. What's your website?
My website is Asher, ASHERENT.com. And that's got all my contact information on it, to contact my office. And there's an email address, which is info@asherent.com. People can email questions. I have a Facebook page, which I believe is Benjamin F. Asher, MD, FACS. If people want to look at that, I've posted some meditations on there. I'm posting healthy recipes and things like that. If people are interested in that.
Great stuff. Ben, I look very much forward to having a wonderful dinner with you in New York City when the smoke clears.
Yeah,
I know that you've hightailed it out to Vermont to wait this out with your family. But this too shall pass. And,
yes, it will.
I look forward to that.
Okay, thank you very much for having me on your show, Ron.
My very great pleasure. That was Dr. Benjamin Asher. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. As you know, this is a vital time to bolster our immune defenses. I've received countless requests for a specific list of supplements that I recommend to support immune health. That's why I've created the Intelligent Medicine Immune Support Protocol, my supplement recommendations offering the greatest boost for your immune system when it's needed most. Best medicine is preventive medicine. Just go to drhoffmanstore.com for more information. drhoffmanstore.com. In addition to the immune support protocol, you'll find easy-to-follow links for our supplement starter kit, heart health protocol, and much more. These protocols are an easy way for you to get the exact combination of targeted supplements you need to help you follow the intelligent medicine lifestyle. The same supplements I take for myself and prescribe for my patients. And for a limited time, you'll get free priority shipping on all of your store orders. For more details, just go to drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com.